Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jerry in for Boomer this morning. We've got CeeLo here. What's up, Chris? Been a long time, man.
Hi. Has it been that long? I guess so. Like, a couple weeks.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. Well, last I was here, you were sick. That's why.
Oh, new dad again?
Yes, congrats. Thank you. Second child. Awesome. Yep.
When did that happen? I missed that.
I mean, what do you want me to send you, a private text? Or?
No, I should have known.
That's
somehow.
Okay. Are you an Instagram guy? Follow me on Instagram.
No, I think I do.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem, though, in these days is you don't get things in chronological order, right? So I'll log on to my Instagram right now or open it, and I get someone's post from, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. It's ridiculous.
I feel like a jerk.
Don't worry about it, man. It's not a big deal.
Well, did congratulations. You mute him?
No. You can't. Do you mute people on Instagram?
You probably can.
You can.
I don't know.
You
can?
I didn't know that. Yeah. No, I haven't muted
him. Game changer.
Wow, I didn't know you could mute people on Instagram.
Oh, you can on Twitter.
Well, I knew you could on Twitter. But was there a baby announcement sent out there?
No.
There wasn't one.
No, well, last time I sent the info in and it never really made it out there. So
it
this time I just kind of
left
it alone, you know.
Jeez.
I don't want to come across the wrong way now. There was a nice gift basket sent on behalf of the station last time.
Oh, that's very nice.
But the information never went out.
The fruit? So. Did you get?
Yeah, I got the whole nine yards. It was very, very nice, classy. So that was all good.
Yeah.
But this time I figured, you know, why waste the time sending the email? It's, you know, no big deal.
Okay.
So there you go. That's why you were not informed.
So the first time, because usually it's the first child for an employee, there's definitely an email.
Right.
And I feel like there was, though.
There was not. I assure you there was not.
Yeah, I only saw it on all of his social medias.
No, he's talking about for the first
The first one.
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy.
There was not. So Mike, someone Monzo gave it to Mike. Mike actually announced the name of my first child on the air.
Oh, that's
for
nice.
Some reason. I have no idea why he chose to do that.
But you didn't get the email.
No.
So Chernoff consciously made the decision not to
Maybe
send
it slipped
out your,
his mind. But he did make sure that there was, again, a nice gift basket.
That's got to make you feel family. Terrible. So,
it is what it is.
Man. He got the gift, dude.
Yeah.
But the
it's
gift.
All right.
Yeah, I know. But
well, I mean, think about it. Which would you rather, the gift basket or the email? Probably the gift basket, right?
Of course.
Yeah. What? It was the fruit again, though?
It was a potpourri of items, but there was some fruit involved, okay. Yes. Very nice.
They love to send the fruit
yeah.
stuff.
Fresh fruit. It's good stuff.
Yeah, so if you're someone around here who's thinking about having a child, know that you're going to get some great fresh fruit from Entercom and
it's a good
WFA.
Deal. Again, better than the email, I would say.
Do you think if I had a child, I would get a fruit and an announcement?
You would definitely get a parade without a doubt.
And Gio could be your grand marshal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've done that before.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, what you got for us, man?
All right, brought to you by the Ray Catena Auto Group. See the first ever Lexus UX 200 luxury crossover available now at Ray Catena Lexus. Well, when you've already sent seven men to the plate in the ninth, you've scored a couple of runs, you got the bases loaded down one, who else would you want in the batter's box but Keon Broxton?
Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three, and the ball game is over. Doolittle blows a fastball by Keon Broxton.
He's preserving.
Blow a fastball by him.
And let's be honest. When you're watching this and listening to Howie, I don't know about you, but all I can think of is Bob Uecker in Major League off mic. This guy sucks.
Yep.
Right? Or on mic. No one's listening. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Preserved a 7-6 Nationals victory in the rubber game of the three-game series, and that was Howie Rose with the final call, WCBS 880. Broxton only batting in that spot because he took over for an injured Michael Conforto. More on that in a minute. How about Broxton, though, batting 143 on the season, one for his last 25 dating back to mid-April, so no one needs to hear him say this.
When I get in there, I try not to think that I haven't had as many at-bats as everybody else or haven't had regular playing time.
And it was a little like, you know, kind of just dropping in there. I'm not making excuses, except I am. And there were some other comments as well from him that we'll play later on today.
Tough spots because that's an explanation for why he's been so terrible, right? I mean, that is.
It's a thought.
Right. But, you know, do you go straight to excuse and you can't say it? I mean, he's getting.
Todd Frazier hasn't had too many at bats. He comes up and hits one off the top of the wall.
Yeah.
Both batting in the 100s. It's
a problem.
Know.
Right. It's a tough spot for a player who's not very good.
Well, that's the key, yeah.
Right.
And he's not going to say I'm not very good, you know.
But when you're someone who is limited, and you're Keon Broxton, and you're not in any sort of rhythm, and you're getting thrown up there in these tough spots because you know a guy gets hurt in the game, then I mean, this is.
I mean, it's not like they pinch hit and set him up there cold in the ninth with the bases loaded. It was his third at bat, but I see your point. And I did look back. I remembered. I must have been doing updates at night, the day of this game or whatever. They lost mid-April to the Phillies, a 3-2 game where he struck out to end the game with the bases loaded. Same situation.
I mean, it was also a pitch that it wasn't like a nasty slider.
It was a fastball.
Yeah, I mean, it was
I remember you calling it a meatball.
Yeah. Right down the middle of the plate.
That's right. Probably won't be seeing any more of him anytime soon, even with the injuries to Conforto and Jeff McNeil. Conforto has a concussion after colliding with Robinson Cano on a pop-up in the fifth. That was after he had blasted the game-tying three-run homer in the third. Here's Cano's explanation of what happened.
I called it right away, but I think he called it really late.
So it's his fault, essentially, is what he's saying there. Conforto's headed back to New York.
You do see Cano waving him off.
Well, he said, I called it early, yeah. But, I mean, once the outfielder, technically, because he's coming in, as you know, Jerry has the right, but it was, I guess, a late call. He gets the shoulder to the face, and he was a little wobbly there, so obviously he had to come out of the game.
If I'm Michael Conforto, I do not love the back page of the New York Post.
That is a tough picture.
They found the most horrible position for him.
He looks dead.
Right. Exactly.
He looked like a tree was chopped down.
Right. Because he did get up, you know, and it wasn't that long, and then he was a little wobbly, so they helped him off.
Well, when he's talking to Callaway and the trainer, you actually feel like, all right, he's going to stay in the game, he's okay.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're not.
Not so much. So he'll be on the shelf for at least the 7 days. The concussion list, McNeil left with abdominal tightness, something he's apparently dealt with before.
I was running the first base. Once I got there, you know, it just kind of felt tight. I've had the four hernia surgeries, basically.
I mean, he just casually threw that. Did you know that about him before yesterday?
Four sports hernia
surgeries. He's in his mid-20s.
Al's had two, right? You've had two hernia surgeries?
Pushing 50.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, one on each side of my groinal area.
Sports hernias or regular hernias?
They were regular hernias.
Yeah, what's the difference?
You could also get the hernia right above your belly button, that area as well.
Oh. Right.
That one's even worse, they say.
When they do the hernia surgery, what do they tell you? You should be good or it could come back?
Could come back.
For him, four times.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. But everywhere it's reported, it's sports hernia. Now we're going to get 50,000 phone calls
from
sports hernia people.
Oh, no question.
I'm actually performing in hernia surgery right now as I've got you on the phone.
Oh, God. I feel like anytime it's attached to an athlete, they always just say sports hernia. I didn't know there was a difference, though. Like if an everyday man, if a NARP gets hernia surgery, it's not sports hernia?
A sports hernia is a strain or tear of any soft tissue in the lower abdomen or groin area.
Okay. And a regular hernia is?
He says, because different tissues may be affected and a traditional hernia may not exist, the medical community prefers the term athletic pubalgia to refer to this type of injury, also known as a sports hernia.
Like that they went with sports hernia instead of pubalgia. It's better.
When I wasn't sure if I had a hernia or not, I Google imaged hernia.
Oh, don't do
that's quite a scene.
As bad as Fournier, which we learned the other day.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
No, don't. You don't want to. No.
Yeah. All right, bottom line of McNeil is he's been through this. He thinks he'll be fine after a day or two of rest. We'll see about that. Carlos Gomez, though, is expected to begin his second stint with the Mets tonight. He's been swinging it well at AAA over the last 10 days or so. Three-run homer Thursday before he was lifted from that game. Lost in the shuffle this game with the Nats. Zach Wheeler, again, not good against Washington. 15 career starts against them, 4-9, 5.01 ERA. This time around, gave up four in the first. He later served up the tie-breaking two-run homer to Gerardo Parra in the fifth. Final line, 6 innings, 11 hits allowed. That was a new career high. 6 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Mickey Callaway's assessment.
Thought he threw the ball good. Parra obviously had a good day off of him. And then, you know,
terrible editing by you, man. You just left him
hanging. You
stop it. Right.
You never
exactly.
edit.
You don't piece it together. Yeah, right. Isolation is key. Yes.
All right.
But it's not like I cut out the middle of his answer and then put that in on the back end.
You made the edit of him stopping right there.
Because he didn't have any more words to there.
The poor guy. He must have said something after that.
He did.
Okay.
But it was irrelevant.
If you had left that in there, it wouldn't have sounded so ridiculous.
We do it with Boone as well. He makes weird noises into the microphone.
I just figured I'd defend Mickey Callaway.
After he told you Wheeler threw the ball well? I mean, come on.
I watched the game. Wheeler.
He gave up five hits in the first inning. I had bloop singles. That. Yeah, great.
The first two hits were not hits.
Yeah.
Other ones left dents in the wall.
A fist job. He said about one of the hits was a fist job, you know.
A fist job.
Like a big mouth. mouth bass.
Oh, boy. And by the way, that was the first series win for the Nats in a month. And the Mets,
of course it was.
Yes. And the Mets are now 0-5 in rubber games this season. So you have that.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, that's five games. The whole, if you put those five, if give you four wins, and everything feels different.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
20-22 overall, headed off to Miami. Three-game set with the Marlins beginning tonight. Jacob DeGrom opposed by Trevor Richards in the opener at 7:10. You get coverage on WCBS 880. Quiet week for the Yankees. Just the doubleheader sweep of the Orioles. Wednesday, they open a three-game set with the Rays. Tonight at the stadium, Ryan Stanek and CC Sabathia on the mound. Pre-game on the Fan 625. Aaron Boone with Mike yesterday on the decision to send Miguel Andujar for season-ending shoulder surgery.
He was having a difficult time just getting loose every day. There were some strength things like in the weight room or within his daily routine.
So they'll get it cleaned up now and continue to lean on Gio Urshela until Didi Gregorius returns to the infield mix, perhaps as soon as next month.
What percentage of these injuries, honest question, if this was 1959 and not 2019, what percentage of these injuries do you think these players play through?
That's a really good question.
70%?
Yeah, I mean, it would be over 50. I'll give you that much. But at the same time, though, I just think there's more of them. I asked Cal Ripken that when he was here this week. I said, why are all these muscle pulls happening to everyday position players? He says they're working too much. He goes, these guys are so big, and the strain on their body, because they're in the cage, and it's a million swings.
And they're lifting weights.
Yeah. Right. And a guy like Aaron Judge, who's just the torque in the way he swings the bat, he says it doesn't surprise him that this happens to guys like that. He goes, and I said, if you were advising a team, what would you do? So I'd dial it back. I would say, listen, you guys are good enough. You don't have to be.
Right.
You know, it's tough to get these guys out of their routines, but I mean, it's just insanity, the amount of muscle pulls and things. Like, the Andujar thing's different, obviously. It's a torn labrum. It was a freak thing diving back into third base. But, you know, a bicep strain, an oblique, a hamstring, a quad. I mean, it's a lot of groin for Sanchez last year. It's a lot of this stuff.
I don't know. Like, the McNeil one, like, you hear and I didn't realize the hernia surgeries until afterwards. But you're watching the game, and then you hear immediately what it is. And until you hear from him, about you're thinking, really? Tightness? So you just run right to the manager, like, a little tight. All right, sit down.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you feel that it is now.
I think it's more the team, though, that is cautious with these guys. I think players,
and understandably
a lot of them would
so.
Especially a guy like Jeff McNeil, he'd play through it. But if he's going to say something, and they're not going to risk it.
And that was the injury that I was thinking about when I thought of the question. I wonder if it was 50 years ago. Does he even say anything and just push right
through?
Yeah, play.
Plus they weren't able to diagnose him the same way either.
True, that's true.
You know, certain injuries, they just never would even know. All right, let's get to the hoops. 8-point deficit with 4.5 to go. No problem for the Warriors.
Lillard with the dribble. Comes hard left side. Tries to hold off Iguodala. Stripped and stolen. Andre stolen. He stolen. Steph Curry throws it up at the horn. It doesn't matter. The game's over.
You expect them to call that in that spot?
No.
And Lillard said that after the game. There was contact, but they're not gonna decide the game.
Their arms are locked up. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, the final four officials would have called a foul on that, that's for sure.
Right.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio Network. That was Andre Iguodala with the defensive play guarding Damian Lillard. Warriors closed on a 14-3 run, turned up the D to edge the Blazers in Game 2 of the West Finals, 114-111. Steve Kerr's team trailed by 15 at the break. Portland doubled them in threes on the night, 18-9, and the Blazers shot it better from the free throw line still.
We stole that game. I thought they outplayed us for much of the night, the majority of the night.
Down
the
stretch.
The third quarter was pretty
awesome, 39
though.
Points for the Warriors, yep. And then in the fourth, Lillard and C.J. McCollum really couldn't get anything to go. Portland's best player was Seth Curry.
Yeah,
he had
was.
A couple of big threes in the fourth quarter. Problem was, Big Brother was doing his thing. Steph only 4 of 14 from three, but still poured in 37 points, 11 of 11 at the free throw line. I saw a ridiculous stat that he's hit like 80 consecutive free throws in the fourth quarter in overtime in
Doesn't
the playoffs.
Surprise me.
It's crazy. And he had the easy setup for Draymond Green, who netted the final basket of the night with 12 seconds remaining. Green had a big game, 16 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, 5 blocks. Knows this could be Golden State's last run, is currently constructed, so plenty of motivation.
Deal with the things that come after whenever those things arrive. But right now, we're focused on the task at hand and try to do something that hasn't been done in a long time.
And here's Curry on the dynamic of his parents having to watch the brothers go at it with so much on the line.
These last two games, it's probably nerve-wracking as heck for them, but It worked out perfectly tonight. He played well, and we won.
And they go up 2-0 heading off to Portland. That's key because the Warriors have already ruled out Kevin Durant for games 3 and 4.
Imagine how proud you are if you're their parents walking out of that game last night with the way Seth Curry played. His, you know, other son, obviously.
So the mom wore the Seth jersey the first game, and then Dell put it on for the second one. So they switched back and forth of who's wearing what.
The ISOs on them down the stretch were awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just tremendous. There's no other way around
Pretty
it.
Pretty cool.
So Durant, Kerr gave you last night that the injury is more serious than they thought.
Through game four.
I have a feeling they knew that at the start, but it is what it is. Obviously, they're on cruise control here so far. Game three Saturday. Tonight, you got game two between the Bucks and the Raptors in Milwaukee. Out at Bethpage Black, typical Brooks Koepka. He's just a machine in these majors. Bogey-free, 7-under-63, new course record, and it's Tiger Woods who played with him, said afterwards it was the worst score he could have shot because he played the par fives at even. And obviously a good day for him.
I never once thought about course record, anything. You know, I was just trying to shoot the best I could. As simple as just keep going and then total them up at the end.
And I wonder if he ever raised his voice ever. I know he was personable with you guys in here when he was in studio.
Well, that's what makes him so great.
I understand.
I read an interview with him, too, where he's like, yeah, you know, there's 25% of these guys, they choke in these big spots, and I don't. Basically, that's me paraphrasing, but he's like, that's what separates me. Is the fact is, like, I just don't care.
Very
like,
steady.
Yeah. I mean, and so he's not going to give you a lot of stuff in a post-round interview.
Joe B's looking good. He took Koepka with his bet.
Well, I mean, the guy is just a machine.
He took six golfers, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but there's 150 in the field.
He took
six.
He didn't take 110. He was a favorite.
Well, yeah, but whatever. He still put
$50
down on
him. Did he go off as the favorite?
I mean, that's not a pat on the back bet.
Oh, I give him a pat on the back.
But you take six golfers and you pick the favorite.
Yeah, there's also three rounds to go.
Right.
But
he hasn't won anything yet.
He won last year at the PGA. It's four straight rounds in the 60s at the PGA. I mean, he's just – but by the way – he's only one. It's a one-shot lead because this guy Danny Lee played very well as well. Tommy Fleetwood four behind. Mickelson, Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler all minus one. Tiger had a rough day. It was a 2-over-72.
Wait,
a couple
two
double
bogeys. Yeah.
He started on the back nine, two doubles, then he went birdie, par, eagle to start the second nine he played, but then he finished with three bogeys. So apparently he was sick on Wednesday. Who the heck knows? But you got three rounds to go.
All right.
And the Bruins swept the Hurricanes.
Yes.
That's unreal.
Think about that.
They just destroyed
Islanders sweep the Penguins. The Hurricanes sweep the Islanders. And then the Bruins sweep the Hurricanes.
The big boys.
And say what you want about Koepka. 10-1.
Yeah, I know. That's why people love betting golf.
Right.
Well, yeah. But you said there's a million guys.
I mean, yeah. But still, I mean, Joe is in line right now
for
day one. It's an easy $500.
Yes.
Well, a couple hundred because he bet five guys.
Right. Okay.
But it's still got a chance to
win. Actually like betting the day. You can bet the matchups day to day within their group or so and so versus so. Well, like you could have yesterday bet, Mickelson to beat Tiger. You know, you can mix and match them however you want.
JJ,
he's out of control. He's absolutely out of control.
That man is diseased. I heard him. He was betting all sorts of stuff.
Well, he and Carver went, Mike Carver from CBS Sports, they went yesterday.
Like, I had Phil going to the five iron four times within the first 15 minutes of his practice round. I'm like, what? I was like, what are you talking about?
He was in his glory.
Prop bets.
He's got a video of him high-fiving Mickelson
that
coming off
cool.
the 16th or 17th
golfers
green.
Golfers I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
He's like, I had Mickelson having a better round than Matsuyama. This year, next year, and then it's a prop bet. It's a long bet. And then in 2025, if Mickelson's still playing, I was like, what? It's like blowing my mind.
And then typical JJ, he actually misbet. He bet Mickelson again. He wanted to bet him against somebody. I forget. And he went back and checked after the fact. He put the wrong name in and ended up winning the bet.
Look at him.
He goes, why do I have extra money in my account? I think I never has a bad day. Ever.
All right. Thank you, CeeLo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.